And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you in to positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, today's episode is sponsored by Procabulary.org. Procabulary offers a brilliant new online language course that I just recently completed myself called Core Language Upgrade. The course material is designed to help you analyze the way you use your words and language to create your reality. I personally believe the words you choose to speak or write out is referred to as spelling for a very good reason. You're literally casting an energetic spell every time you open your mouth, which means it's of the utmost importance that you have a foundational understanding about the power or lack of power that the words you're choosing to use conjures up. I strongly believe language mastery is a highly important skill set that way too few people have taken it upon themselves to become educated on. And what Procabulary does is actually provides you with an incredibly easy-to-follow roadmap that only takes about 10 minutes a day, spanned over 21 days to complete, which shows you how to go about changing your language patterns so that you can start getting better results in every aspect of your life. Now, as a Positive Head Podcast listener, if you decide to go to Procabulary.org and purchase the Core Language Upgrade course, you'll get 33% off if you use the promo code POSITIVEHEAD, all one word, on the checkout page. The retail price for Core Language Upgrade is normally $299, and I'd say it's really worth every penny of that, but it's especially worth it after your 33% Positive Head discount because it drops the price to $199. That's a crazy good deal that I had to do some serious convincing to get the guys at Procabulary to give to our listeners. So I really hope some of you will take advantage of it while it lasts. Also, if you need more convincing about the power of Procabulary, check out Positive Head Podcast number 20, where I actually interview Procabulary co-founder Mark England, and we discuss language mastery in great detail. All right, Dalian, time for a daily episode of the Positive Head Podcast.
Excuse me.
Arnold. I didn't know you were here.
He's making a guest appearance.
Today we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, people.
Yeah, he might interject from time to time.
He seems to always come back for some reason.
Yeah, mostly to not say actually anything, but sometimes he'll talk about work.
What is that? Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger still, or did you switch to SpongeBob?
I started to slip into some SpongeBob.
Oh wow, it's getting weird around here, folks.
Reel it in.
Man, that was a slurry of bad jokes, just hitting the people right over top of the head, right out of the gate. We're on one.
Well, I think we do that every Tuesday. Maybe
it's a Tuesday thing.
Yeah. Terrible Tuesdays.
Yeah, exactly. Not so funny Tuesdays. Oh, so what's going on with you today, Dalian the Alien?
Besides acting like a general weirdo, nothing much. Enjoying the rough California winter.
It's rough again.
They talked about El Nino. They talked it up, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll psych myself up for some rain.
Yeah, it's rained like 3 times or something.
I remember it was like that many, many years ago when we arrived on this coast. And houses were sliding down the hill.
Yeah.
There were like mudslides and actual heavy rains that, we still need them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well,
so would you like me to maybe dive into my story?
Dive into the mysterious story of the day.
Well, today's story is rather more science-minded, I suppose. But it's it does have a mysterious component to it that's actually pretty cool, right? It's an article on Dig about animals that sniff out sickness. And I've heard separate accounts of a dog here that can smell out a particular condition. I think possibly like Alzheimer's in one case, or maybe that was a lady that could. Yeah. But the article is just compiling information. For example, this clinic in Tanzania where they have a rat, and it's not just your typical lab rat. It's a African rat. They have a few of these, and they use them to sniff out tuberculosis. So it's pretty fascinating because they're actually, I think these are the only animals right now, Brandon, that are being used on a regular basis in a systematic effort to have them help out, you know, sniff out disease. So it's pretty cool. The article does mention dogs and just is generally catching us up on the whole concept that, you know, this is something that's, again, a thing. I'll read you real quick from the article.
Okay.
Around the world, other animals, mostly dogs, are being used experimentally to screen human samples for disease. The TB sniffing rats of Tanzania are the only animal disease detectives in routine use. When medics first hear about the program, they are often skeptical about the idea of using rats rather than machines. Says Christophe Cox, CEO of Apopo, the Belgian-based organization behind the project. But then they are shown the case detection data, and I guess are convinced at that point, right? The rats are saving lives every day, and argue some advocates, the time has come now for dogs to do the same.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool because the thing is that I would personally say, and I think the data is supporting this, which is really cool because, of course, the studies that back up all this are what's going to convince people eventually, you know, of doing this. But animals are gifted with the same, extremely intricate and sophisticated system that we all have. Of course, we all understand that dog's sense of smell is greatly enhanced from our own, right? But if we can really use them in this context, then how is it any different than, you know, police dogs that are trained to sniff out drugs or bombs or anything like that, right?
Totally.
I mean, you're using an animal's enhanced sense to, and of course, dogs are highly trainable. So that's, you know, to me, just... you know, something that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. And of course, when you start looking at, you know, in this case, we're talking about animals with super strong sense of smell and actually sniffing sickness, which is a fascinating, you know, concept. But of course, you know, we talk about the five senses, but then you get into the sixth sense kind of thing as well. Like all the animals in Indonesia, when we had the tsunami years back, 10 years ago or so, they all fled to higher ground prior to the wave hitting. And so where did they get that information from? You know, we're all, what I believe and many people believe is we all have this innate intuitive ability. We're just cut off from we're unnatural, so to speak, in so many ways with our ideas about limitations. And you can only, you know, whatever you can see, taste, touch, hear is the only thing that's real. And of course, thank goodness, a lot of that, those concepts are being lifted with, you know, as more and more people kind of open their minds to being able to do more. So, I instantly, my head goes to, yeah, I'm sure they're sniffing and able to sniff, but is there any intuitive element to this?
Right.
And of course, I haven't looked at the article or done the research to know, but I'm sure there's probably stories out there where dogs are intuitively knowing something is going to happen and have warned their owner. I would guarantee without even having looked into it, you know. And of course, it makes me think of our conversation yesterday. And it's almost like a continuation of the conversation that we had yesterday, where Jesse had asked about psychometry. And well, I had a little synchronicity around that because, of course, psychometry being a sort of a psychic related phenomenon where someone can take a physical object and discern information about the object or the person who owned the object. And we talked about that. So yesterday evening, I decide to veg out after a long day of work and actually... turn on TV, which I don't watch a lot of TV, but every now and then especially after a really long day and I just want to watch something kind of mindless or that I just don't have to do anything except to lay there. And so maybe a couple hours a week, 2 hours a week or something, I'll do that. And I decided to do that and just kind of flip around for anything that wasn't going to overstimulate my brain. And I came across this new show called, I think it's like Hollywood Medium or something. It's a guy named Tyler Henry, really young, like 19-year-old kid. And he's a medium. And what do you know? How does he discern his information? Psychometry. By taking objects of past loved ones and communicating with them. And he was really, really incredible. The information that he brought through in the episode, actually watched a couple episodes. It was so fascinating to watch this, you know, young kid work. He definitely has a powerful gift. And of course, the synchronicity was not lost on me that we had done a show on psychometry earlier that day, randomly because of a random question written in by a listener. And I happened to turn on a random television show as I'm just flipping for anything to kind of unwind to. And here it is, this brand new show. And it's first thing they're talking about is psychometry. So there's your synchronicity story for the day. Very cool. And like I said, I recommend checking the kid out. He's really, really talented. And it's for anyone who's ever been curious about life after death. Of course, we interviewed Eben Alexander, who has a fascinating story. You have, you know, people who have come back with information from the other side. And in this case, you have people like Tyler Henry, or I remember years back, it was John Edward. And there's been a few others that have had shows over the years. And they're doing the same sort of thing. They're proving life after death by bringing back information. And some of the information that, like, I saw this kid bring back, it's, you know, so detailed. I mean, the chances of guessing it, you know, one of the guys he talked to was Tom Arnold, and Tom Arnold was like super skeptical, you know, going into it. And he was pretty much floored by what the kid knew. And he even, at one point, had a brief communication with Robin Williams. It was really cool.
Wow. So, yeah, that's kind of wild.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, he was reading Margaret Cho, and he said, "Is there a Robin Williams connection for you? Because I'm getting him. I have to tell you." Like, and he basically said that. Well, of course, she turned around and said, "Yeah, when I grew up." Coming up as a you know, comedian, he was always performing across the street right from where I lived, and I would have to go on after him. And he was kind of like my mentor sort of character, of course. So, you know, the guy, he knew this. He figured this out. And, of course, he went on to say that Robin Williams, the reason he committed suicide was because he had an illness. He had a couple illnesses, and I guess that's recently come out. So that could be something that he heard, you know what I mean? But he confirmed, at least in the channeling, that he had indeed taken his life because he, you know, he was aware of a second illness, I guess, and he just didn't want to go through it. Really, really cool. You know, also, so that, yeah, it's been cool because there's been a lot of this sort of psychic energy in the last 24 hours, just kind of synchronistically. Then someone shared a video that I ended up posting on Positive Head's Facebook page. It was really cool, where a woman was at her son's funeral, and all of a sudden a balloon came loose and floated over from the casket to her and was just like circling her. Really, really, really cool.
Yeah, that clip is really impressive. I recommend you watch it, even if you don't believe in things like these. When it comes to mediums, Brandon, and really anyone like this guy, John Edward, from years ago, of course, a lot of people want to instinctively have that reaction of saying, no, that's BS. No way it can be true.
Yep.
And, you know, eventually we will figure out a way to. But I'm someone who, I guess I would consider myself a healthy skeptical kind of person, in that
it's
I'm
the best
going
kind.
To. Yeah, exactly. And that I'm going to say, I can't believe that this is absolutely true. But neither am I going to say it's absolutely not true. So show me the data. Please go ahead and, you know, do a reading.
Speaking of the data, that's a great point that you bring up. There is a book, those with the scientific slant, check out. There's a book called The Afterlife Experiments, which was written by a professor at UCI, which is right down the road from us, actually, University of California, Irvine, maybe 10 years ago, maybe longer. And basically what he did is took people like this Tyler Henry kid and, you know, some of the most gifted mediums in the world. And he did a test. He did like double blind, you know, sort of scientific standard sort of studies to try and test to see if they were indeed discerning information from beyond, you know, from the other side, so to speak. And the conclusion, it's a pretty thick book and it goes through all the studies and everything. And at the conclusion, it was like one in a multi-billion chance that they were guessing the information. It was like, obviously, that there was knowledge coming from elsewhere that they were being provided. And this was all broken down into scientific sort of, exploration or study to determine, you know, and this was a professor who that's what he did, you know.
Right.
So that was, so it's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah. And when you see them, you know, they, I mean, when they come through with, okay, I'm getting a grandmother figure named Hilda who I'm seeing a giraffe and it's like, oh my gosh, my grandmother Hilda always, you know, had giraffe statues around the house. That was like her thing. I mean, some of it's like so detailed. It's like, it's just unguessable. And of course, when you see the impact that it has on people too, and the relief, the grief that's lifted, the pain that's lifted oftentimes, off of these people's shoulder. A lot of times there's some sort of issue around the death that is liberated in the reading. And of course, I believe that's probably a lot of the reason it's happening for those particular people, because, you know, this is people like this Tyler Henry Kidd, that's their gift to the world, is to say, hey, they're not gone. You're not alone. And it's actually okay what you're eating yourself alive inside about, you know, not saying goodbye or the last fight that you had, or I wish I'd done more kind of thing. So it's really a beautiful thing too. When you see that piece of it, it all just to me makes so much sense and so reassuring, and should just helps me relax that much more into life and not be stressed out about needing to get anywhere or, you know, running out of time.
Yeah. The books like The Afterlife Experiments are so great to help change the scientific mindset around this, but there's definitely a merging of the two perspectives, right? The purely intuitive and what some people would consider more like a woo-woo kind of thing. But, you know, to me, it makes sense that they would integrate because they belong together. It's all part of a continuum, really. There's no difference. And that's one of the things that reductionist science missed so much. I think that, like with science with medicine, with Western medicine, there was so much of that, of treating the body like science has treated so much of the universe, trying to sort of break it apart, right, into little pieces and study each piece separately and saying, oh, okay, you know, as long as we understand the pieces, supposedly we understand the whole. Well, now we understand that that's not, you right. know, that's a reductionist approach.
Yeah.
And it's not a way of understanding. So.
Right, right. So, yeah, I'm kind of moving right along a little bit. Yesterday, yeah, it was Jesse who had written in and asked about psychometry, and, you know, he responded back after, you know, hearing the episode and thanking us and stuff. And then he kind of went into a little bit more, and I was like, you know what, this is really good stuff to talk about. So as always, guys, I love, love, love getting questions from you in the audience. I love interacting with you. I want to hear more. I wish we got more feedback than we do. And we get positive feedback quite a bit, you know, thanking us and telling us that, you know, how much the show has affected them, you know, people in a positive light. And that means the world to us. But we really love also getting questions and interacting with you guys more. So please don't be shy. Drop us a line and let us know a question or thought that we might be able to bring into the show. It makes my day when I have something like that waiting for me in the morning. But let's see here. One of the things that he wrote back about was a really touching story in regards to his girlfriend and having a miscarriage and him, you know, going through a kind of a tough breakup with her after the miscarriage. And, you know, that's about the time he found the Positive Head podcast, and it really helped, you know, how it's really helped him, and, you know, how he realizes their separation needed to happen so that they could grow separately for some time. And, well, I guess, you know, they thought they had a miscarriage, and he found out months later from her that actually she hadn't miscarried at that time. She had just miscarried for real, you know, months later. And I guess this has created a lot of guilt with her and a lot of like, oh my gosh, had I known, you know, maybe I would have taken better care or something like that, you know. And so he was kind of asking a question like what my thoughts are on that sort of thing and why it happens. And, you know, of course, so there's quite a bit in this story. There's this story of love that realizing that you need to separate to grow separately. There's a story of miscarriage, then realizing it's false, then it actually happening, then the grief. And, you know, there's a lot thrown in there. So I appreciate Jesse, you know, being willing to kind of bear such personal things. And to touch on it a little bit, what I thought I would do is, you know, I just saw the movie, the cartoon, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran, which is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Prophet. It's a very famous book written, I think it was like 1923. And it's Khalil Gibran, what a poet, this guy, and not only just a beautiful, amazing poet, but the book, The Prophet, is about a poet and his kind of teachings. And you got to see it. You can watch the movie. I know I found it on demand on through cable currently, but I'm sure it's out there everywhere. I highly, highly recommend checking out The Prophet. It's done by the director of The Lion King, and it's just so, so poetic, so beautifully done. And of course, it's the story of, you know, based off of the book The Prophet, and such profound wisdom on the nature of reality. So instantly when I was reading Jesse's story, I thought of what I just watched, you know, some of the quotes from The Prophet and talking about love and loss. And, you know, he kind of, because in the book and in the movie, he touches on all these different kind of key elements of life, you know, love, loss, freedom, you know, different kind of key points that what it means and what these things mean to us as humans. And so what I thought I would do is take a few quotes from Khalil Gibran, the prophet, and just kind of share them to ponder for Jesse and anyone thinking about these sorts of things. Because I know there's others out there listening who have dealt with love and dealt with loss, maybe even lost a child or something like that. And so some of these quotes that I was able to find from the prophet really say, you know, volumes. Even though there are a few sentences that I'm going to read, I feel like they just say volumes about, you know, about the topics and understanding, because that's really what Jesse was writing in and about, you know, what light can you shine on this, these, you know, very difficult situations. In regards to love, you know, in the book, he says, love one another, but make not a bond of love. Let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. That one really jumped out to me when I was watching the movie. It's so beautiful, because we try and hold love like it's something to grab onto and never lose. And, you know, it's so hard to say goodbye or to let go, because of that. And if you can look at it as, you know, make not a bond, I think what he's saying is don't hold on to it. Don't try and contain it. Let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. Let it just flow naturally. It's going to have its in tide and its out tide. And you know, when you are able to let it go, like it sounds like Jesse was able to do, that is a natural, that's a natural way of things at times. And our job is to be able to read the signs when it is the natural separation is meant to occur. And of course, I think so much pain comes in relationship from people that hold on to, you know, that hold on to a relationship long after it's reached its point of, you know, optimal benefit. I believe we come together as opportunity for growth. And when that opportunity no longer is serving us, or we've gotten what we've, the growth we need from that relationship, a natural separation occurs. And if you can view your life like that, all relationships, not just romantic relationships, as, you know, a moving sea between the shores of your souls, and know that you're never going to lose anyone, you can never lose anything, then it makes it easier when you realize you have eternity to revisit this soul in different new and exciting ways. It gives you something to look forward to and dream about. And, you know, another quote that he says, ever has it been that love knows not its own depth until the hour of separation. And I can really relate to that one. You know, really, it's when you no longer have someone that you once had in your life, it gives a whole different depth when you have, you know, when the hour of separation is upon you. And if you can move into that with, you know, an open heart and open mind and find the beauty in that, you know, ever has it been that love knows not its own depth until the hour of separation. And, you know, he also speaks in The Prophet about children, you know, and of course you had this, Jesse had this, and his girlfriend had this incident with a child. And he said, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. You know, it's never, they were never yours to begin with, essentially. It's never yours. It was never, you know, what I would say is this experience, this difficult experience that Jesse and his girlfriend had together was never about this child being here, rather about the experience that they would have with this miscarriage situation. So it was really always for them. And, you know, when you can understand that it's always happening for you, it takes on, there's never a loss. There's never a mistake that's happened. And if, you know, his girlfriend can understand, there's never been a mistake that's happened. This is exactly what you were meant to experience so that you could have the experience of overcoming the guilt and the grief and the, you know, all the things that you're sort of, it sounds like she's, sort of putting on herself. This is an opportunity for her to rise above that and see the bigger picture and know that it happened for a reason and to appreciate life that much more fully because of the fragility of life that that's been demonstrated to her here, to them both. And he goes on to say another quote, "When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight." And that is an interesting one as well. When you, you know, when you realize it's always been a beautiful experience, whatever you're longing or missing, you know, instead of, you know, whether this is the relationship or the loss of the child, look at what was good there. Look at the you know, beauty of the relationship that you had. It was a delight, you know, so much good came from it. And it's really, that quote is really all about focusing on the right thing, you know, looking, seeing the glasses half full as opposed to half empty, right? Another one here, I have a few more for you. "Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding." Another just, you know, once again, you can see why you want to go see the movie, The Prophet, or read the book. "Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding." It, you know, another one I've seen is, you know, the cracks are where the light enters you. And when you, allow yourself to be broken, allow your shell to be broken, it's how you expand. One last one is actually, I'll bring in Rumi. And it said, "I saw grief drinking a cup of sorrow and called out, 'It tastes sweet, does it not?' 'You have caught me,' grief answered, 'and you have ruined my business. How can I sell sorrow when you know it's a blessing?" And that one is really profound. It's, you know, when you understand even the sorrow is part of the beauty, it gives the taste of life, what it means to be human. If it were not for the sorrow, would we really appreciate the taste of beauty, the wonderful moments? So they're serving you. How can I sell sorrow when you know it's a blessing? It's always a blessing. Your challenges are always blessings. And moving into that state turns the lump of coal into a diamond every time. And That's what I'd like to share with you all for today as far as, you know, perspective on these sorts of trying situations. And hopefully in some way it also helps Jesse and his girlfriend to have more perspective and better understanding on what they're going through.
I was going to tell you, Brandon, that the clip of the balloon at the child's wake or funeral could be something that perhaps gives this young couple a sense of, you know, what it's like to be in this larger reality. Yeah, where a being can choose to play that role. But what I loved about your quotes is that just as, and it's something that we all experience, but just as love doesn't know its own, you know, tight bond until it's broken in the hour of separation, a lot of times you don't know your own strength until your boundaries are tested to the max. And, you know, I've seen quotes on Facebook recently about this sort of thing and, you know, how great challenges, of course, can forge your strength like nothing else can. I would venture that perhaps you can find it in you to see that when you're going through something that feels like it's just breaking your heart to the max, right? And you feel like you can't take anymore. Know and trust in the wisdom of your soul that said, I think you're ready for this experience. And it knew everything that you could potentially gain from it, right? Be transformed. Right. And in order to be transformed, you have to be broken down first.
Yeah.
Just as a caterpillar, really. I mean, that whole process is such a great analogy.
I almost used that analogy a moment ago, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of that is going to sort of make sense to them in time. But for now, you know, just finding anything that gives them that sense of relief and comfort and knowing that there's a larger context is the thing that can help you make sense of it. Because again, if you're sort of looking at everything through that reductionist approach, you mourn for your children, perhaps. But I love that other quote, your children are not your children. They're the children of life.
Yeah.
So again, it's a larger context that's helping you, but you know, make sense of it all, really.
Yeah, it makes me think of a story that I heard many years ago, and I can't remember where I heard it. It was really, really profound, though. A guy had a dream, and in his dream, his child died, and he woke up from the dream, you know, and it was very real, vivid, lucid sort of dream, and you know, having an understanding of the illusory nature of this reality, you know, and as much as essentially that this is a dream as well. He woke up from his dream sleeping at night after, you know, seeing his child die in that dream, or a child die, and found out his real son had died. And, you know, understanding the nature of reality and how it's both different levels of dreaming, right? This waking consciousness, or when you're laying in your bed at night. And he said, you know, should I cry more for the child in the dream last night or the child here, you know? And obviously that seems very extreme to those of us who have children, you know, but it gives some perspective into, you know, the illusory state of it all. You don't really ever lose anyone or anything. It's just, we take breaks from each other. And, so yeah, that actually reminds me of another, I think it's a t-shirt on Sevan Bomar, who I interviewed. Very fascinating interviews, by the way. They're so fascinating, in fact, that we did two parts. If you look back for Sevan Bomar is his last name, Sevan Bomar. Anyway, his, he has a t-shirt, I believe, that's, you know, you always think of the quote, see you soon. His t-shirt says, see you forever. And I really love that. That says it all, right? It says it all. So, well, Dalian, I believe we're running out of illusory time for this episode. What do we have in the way of some musical stylings for the wonderful listeners?
Well, we have an artist that evokes that vibe of Envision Festival, as you've mentioned before. Honestly, this is someone that you found, so I'm not sure if this is an artist that will be performing.
I don't think he's performing, but he's from that region of the world.
That's what I had guessed. And so, yeah, he's got some tasty musical stylings for sure. Nicola Cruz.
Ah, yes. And this is from, you're going to just play a sample of a set on his SoundCloud. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Sagittarian.
Awesome.
And before we check out the musical tastings for today, I would like to add, this Positive Head podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I, but make no mistake, it takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to produce 5 episodes each and every week for you, our listeners. So if you enjoy the Positive Head podcast, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes, since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting. Your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish, based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.